Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph by the two dots. Amamar Basar, Afal Pi Sheyesh Sham Beheret Imo Divrei Rabbi Yoshaya. So we saw before, we had a Machloket Tanaim that we brought before from the Braita. We learned from the Basar that even though there is a nega there that you still perform the milah, that was the position of Yoshaya. Ha Lamali Kra. Why do I need a pasuk at all? Davar She'ein Mitkavein Hu. Davar She'ein Mitkavein Mutar. We have already learned in the Gemara Shabbat, if you do something unintentionally, that you're not held culpable for it. Not only you're not culpable, it's Mutar the Gamre. So over here, when you go to cut off the milah, you're not intending to cut off the nega. You simply want to cut off the orla to do the brit milah. So why do I need a pasuk to be matir this action if the action has no intent in terms of the nega, or cutting off the nega? So a couple of things. First of all, we see that davar she'eino mitkavein has broader application. It's not just applicable by Shabbat. It also has that application outside of Shabbat. Because here we're not dealing with necessarily a din of Shabbat. Dealing with doing a brit milah and cutting off a nega. Problem here is hishamayah or benega tzarat, that you're not allowed to cut off the nega. And the positive commandment that you're trying to accomplish is that of Brit Milah. So independent of Shabbat, the Gemara here is discussing Davar She'eino Mitkavein. That comes up in other areas as well, with Kilayim, other areas, but we know that Davar She'eino Mitkavein applies outside of Shabbat. We're making an assumption that Davar She'eino Mitkavein is Mutar, that's the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. There is his Baal Plukta. One who argues on him, who is Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Davar She'eino Mitkavein is Asur. The Abaye says that the limud of Rabbi Yoshaya is according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Amar Afilu Teima Rabbi Shimon. Even Rabbi Shimon could be the author of this position, because Moda Rishima Pasuk Reishe Velo Yomot. But here we're talking about a Pasuk Reishe. We're talking about the fact that it's inevitable. Even if it's unintentional, it's inevitable, because when you cut the Orla, you must cut the Baheret. The Baheret is sitting on the Orla, so it's an inevitable consequence of doing the Brit Milah will be to cut off the Nega. That's Pasuk Reishe. Rabbi says that Rabbi Shimon agrees with Pasuk Reishe that Davar She'eino Mitkavein doesn't protect you. Ve'abaye Leitle Hai Svara. Wait, Abaye doesn't have that position? Veha. Every time in this Masechta that we've quoted this position, we always say, Abaye v'rova d'amrei tarvayu. Abaye and Rava both say, Moda Rabbi Shimon b'pasuk reishe v'lo yamut. That Abaye and Rava say that Rabbi Shimon agrees in a case where you take off the head, v'lo yamut, it's not going to die. That Rabbi Shimon agrees that even if it's davar she'eino mitkavein, in that case, it's not mutar. It doesn't have the din of davar she'eino mitkavein. So, bata d'shama mi Rava. After he heard Rava, Savra, he took on that position. So at first, he didn't necessarily have this position, but after Rava explained his position, then Abaye adopted the position of Rava as well. And that's why wherever we quoted in the Masechta, we've quoted it as a position of Abaye and Rava, not just position of Rava. Some say over this discussion between Abaye and Rava, not like we did now on the Braita, but rather on this limut. Yishamer b'negat zarat, yishmor ma'od v'la'asot. It says by the negat zarat that you have to be very careful with it. And then, pasuk says, v'la'asot. La'asot, i'ata oseh. Aval, oseh ata b'siv sh'agabe raglo, u'bemot sh'agabe k'tefo. You can't actively or directly cut off the negat zarat, but you can indirectly cause it to fall off. You can do this by putting the lacing or strapping that holds your shoe on, and if the strapping then rubs up against the nega and the nega falls off, or you put a pole to carry a load on your shoulder, and the pole rubs up against the nega and the nega falls off. Vim avra, avra. If it falls off, it falls off, no problem. Vaha, lamali kra. Why do I need a posuk to teach me that's a diok out of the word lasot? You're not allowed to do it directly. You can do it indirectly. Davar she'ein mitkaveinu. This is an unintentional removal of the tzarat, of the nega. Davar she'ein mitkavein mutar. Amar Abaye, lo nitzrucha ela Rabbi Yehuda. We only need it for Rabbi Yehuda's position. Amar davar she'ein mitkavein asur. V'rova amar afilu Rabbi Shimon. It can even be according to Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon agrees when it's an inevitable consequence of the action that you're taking, then it's not mutar anymore. Therefore, even Rabbi Shimon over here needs a pasuk to be matir such a case. Abaye does not subscribe to that position by Rabbi Shimon that pasuk reishi v'lo yamut is a problem and davar she'eino mitkavein. Abaye v'rova damrei tarvayu moder Rabbi Shimon pasuk reishi v'lo yamut. Batu d'shamei merova savro. After he heard Rabba propose that position, and then Rabbi Shimon, he adopted it as well. So now we have two memorot, again, that describe a pasuk that is matir the removal of a nega. First time we added it at the Braita in a case of Brit Milah that allows one to do a Brit Milah and cut off the Beheret. A second Brit or Tosefta that has a limud lasot, only if you actively and directly take off the nega are you chayav. If you do it in an indirect manner, you are patur. Both cases, we have a pasuk min haTorah to be matir, the action. Question is, both times it's a davar she'ein mitkaven, it's an unintentional consequence of the action. You are doing a brit milah, it happens to take off the nega tzarat. You are carrying a load, you are wearing your shoe, and unintentionally it takes off the nega. Why do we need a pasuk to be matir if a davar she'ein mitkaven is mutar? So Bai in both instances says, it's authored by Rabbi Yehuda, who says davar she'ein mitkaven is asur. And therefore, he needs the pasuk to be matirit. It's interesting only because most believe that even Rabbi Yehuda, when he says, davar she'einu mitkaven is asur, that's only asur midirabanan, not asur midoraita. Over here, he would have to believe that Rabbi Yehuda believes davar she'einu mitkaven is asur midoraita, otherwise you don't need a pasuk to be matirit. And that is because, as Tosafot notes back on Daf Mem Aleph, davar she'einu mitkaven b'chol atura kula, according to Rabbi Shimon, is a matir, but in Shabbat, it takes on an additional meaning because of Malachit Makshevet. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Davar She'einu Mitkaven is Asur Midrabanan when you're dealing with Shabbat because of Malachit Makshevet. But outside of Shabbat, Davar She'einu Mitkaven is not just Asur Midrabanan, it's Asur Midoraita. And over here, we're dealing with an issue outside of Shabbat. We're dealing with Mila and Beheret. And therefore, Davar She'einu Mitkaven over here is Asur Midoraita according to Rabbi Yehuda. Then we have Rebbe come along and say, no, even be Rabbi Shimon. Because in here, you're right. It's unintentional, but it's also inevitable. And when it's inevitable, then it becomes what we call pasuk reishei v'lo yamut, that if you cut off the chicken's head, it's not going to die. Since that's the case, even Rabbi Shimon agrees by pasuk reishei v'lo yamut that you are chayav. And because of that, we need the pasuk to be matir, even according to Rabbi Shimon. The only addition of the Gemara in both cases is that Abaye also subscribes to that position, that pasuk reishei v'lo yamut, Rabbi Shimon agrees that it's problematic. Gemara says that he learned that from Rava, and then after he learned it from Rava, he adopted that position as well. Now the Gemara says, what do we do according to Abaye? Alibed Rabbi Shimon, I basar my ovidle. According to Abaye's limud that the pasuk is being used for Rabbi Yehuda, then what does Rabbi Shimon do with the extra word basar? Amar Rav Amram, ba'omer lakutz beharto, humitkaven. So he says, you know what? I'm intending to cut it off. Even Rabbi Shimon would agree that if he intentionally wants to cut off the baharit, and that is his clear intent, you can say in a case where he does the brit milah and unintentional consequences that he cuts off the baharit. So there Rabbi Shimon says mutar. But if he says, I'm going to do the brit milah and I want to cut off the nega, now you're dealing with davar she'mitkaven. There, Rabbi Shimon's going to agree it's problematic. And that's what he used the word basar for. It says, tinach gadol. The word basar appears twice. Appears once by gadol, and appears once by the katan. So by the gadol, I understand what to use the basar for, because the gadol can have kavanah. But the katan, ma'ikal meimar. By katan doesn't have kavanah. He can't say, I'm intending to take off my baharet. First of all, he's not even the one performing the brit milah. Amar misharshia ba'omer avia ben lakutz baharet dibno hu kamit kavein. It's a case where the father says, I want the baharet taken off. So this 8-day-old child, the father says, when you cut milah, make sure you get that nega off with it. So he has intent for it. So the Gemara says, "Bo v'ika acher laved acher." If there's someone else there, then don't let the father do it. Give it over to someone else. Damar Shimon ben Lakish, kol makom she'atam motze aseh v'lo taseh, im ata yechol lekayem shneihem mutav, v'im lav yevo aseh v'yidchei lo taseh. Whenever we have an option to make a decision between an aseh and a lo taseh, we have a principle, aseh doche lo taseh. The aseh overrides the lo taseh. Shimon ben Lakish, here in the Gemara in Yevamot, establishes a principle that is the last resort. We only resort to asei doche lo taseh when we have no other alternative. If I have the alternative of being mekayem the asei and not violating the lo taseh, we're going to opt for that rather than bring them into conflict and force it to be the asei doche lo taseh. So here, if I have an option of bringing in a third party to do the brit milah, then it's better off to bring in the third party. You bring in the third party, then you're right. He does the asei of brit milah. He will not be in violation of the lo taseh of removing the negat zarat, because for him, it's davar she'einu mitkaven. He has no intention for it. He doesn't want to cut it off. He's almost indifferent cutting it off. And therefore, he can be mekayem the asei of milah without violating the lo taseh of cutting the baharet, cutting the nega. If the father does it, the father already, we know, says has intent to cut off the orla for the milah, but also the nega to be mitaher his child. He has kavanah. So in that case, he's still mutar to do it, because asei doche lo tasei. On the other hand, he will have to invoke that principle of asei doche lo tasei. So if we have an option between third party doing it and him doing it, we're going to opt for the third party. So that's what the Gemara asks of here. Why not have a third party do it instead of the father? So it's davar she'enu mitkaven versus davar she'mitkaven. The Gemara says, the lekacher, there's nobody else there. There's no third party who can do it. There are a number of interesting things here. First of all, if it's a case of pasuk reshe, then why does it make a difference? Why does it make a difference if it's pasuk reshe below yomut, that whether the father does it or whether someone else does it? If it's an inevitable outcome, then it doesn't matter. Davar she'enu mitkaven, davar she'mitkaven, it all becomes one. This is another proof to the shita of the aruch. The shita of the aruch is that when you have pasuk reshe, delo nechale, a pasuk reshe that you don't care, you're indifferent, or don't want the outcome, then it becomes like a davar she'en mitkaven, it's mutar legamre. And that's what you seem to see from here. Here, if we bring in a third party to do it, and maybe it's pasuk reshe, nevertheless, we say, let the third party do it. Better the third party does it than the father themselves. Tosafot rejects this as a proof to the Oruch, because he says the Gemara only asked the question on Abaye and not on Rava. The Gemara never asked the question on Rava, differentiating between Acher and the father in the case of Rava. The Gemara only raises this issue within the context of Abaye when he's talking about Davar She'enu Mitkaven. So in the case of Davar She'enu Mitkaven, there the Gemara raises the issue of a difference between Acher and the father because of the difference in Reish Lakish's statement between Aseh Docha Lo Taseh Anat. But the Gemara never raises, in the context of Rava, when we're talking about it, it's a Pasuk Reshe V'lo Yomot, the Gemara never asks about a differentiation between Acher and the father. And that proves to you that the Gemara doesn't see any difference between them, like the Shita of Tosafot, where Pasuk Reshe D'lo Nechale is still only an Isser Derabanan. It's a Malach Hashem Tzrikha Lagufa, according to Tosafot. The better off to be in violation of an Isser Derabanan with the third party than to be in violation maybe of an Isser Deoraita with the father doing it, where it's a Pasuk Reshe De Nechale. But outside of Shabbat, where there's no issue of Malach and Machshevet, Malach Hashem Tzrikha Lagufa is going to be Kayav. And therefore, for Tosafot, there will be no differentiation in Pasuk Reshe De Lo Nechale and Pasuk Reshe De Nechale. And that's why the Gemara did not raise this issue with regards to Rava's position, only in Abaye's position when we're dealing with Davar She'enu Mitkaven. This is another area where we seem to see the Gemara favoring that position of the Oruch, where it's a Pasuk Reshe D'lo Nechale. The other thing to note here is interesting, which is, I read it as if the father was the one who's doing the Brit Milah over here. But that's not necessarily clear. It says, Avram Avram Bomer Lakutz Behartohu Mitkaven. When we say that he's intending to cut it off, maybe the case is where he intends to cut off, that's he's doing the Brit Milah. But what happens if there's an Omohel there? And he's telling them all he wants him to cut off the Neged Zerat. Is that still problematic? And the answer is yes. That the father, and we'll see this in Rashi in one second, I'll show you that Rashi seems to indicate that if you are present and you have the Mohel do it on your behalf, then the Mohel will act based on your Kavanah. Because you're present, because he knows your will, he's there to please you. He's there to do what you want. And therefore we consider it as if if you have Kavanah to cut it off, that's enough that he's cutting it off, that'll have Kavanah in it. So if you look in Rashi, if there's a third party there, Rashi says, not only does the third party have to be there, because he doesn't care about being mitayer the child, he has no vested interest in the child being tahor. He's simply there to do the milah. The father should not be there. Why shouldn't the father be there? What does the father have to do with it anymore? What Rashi is teaching you is that if the father was present, the Mohel does not have independent Kavanah. When the father's present, standing over the Mohel, and then the Mohel is acting on his behalf, he's going to act exactly like the father wants. And that means if the father wants the Baharat off, the Mohel is going to be acting as if he wants the Baharat off. So only when the father is moved out or away from there can we say the Mohel can act independently. So therefore, those two pieces in the Gemara before were by Gadol and Katan. I said the father's doing the brit, and he does it to himself, and he says, I want to cut it off, or he does it to his son. Once it's cut off, it couldn't even be within a Mohel there. That he's not doing it, but a mohel is doing it, but the father's standing there and watching the mohel. As long as the father's present, we assume the mohel's acting the way the father would have acted. In that case, it would be as if he had kavanah to cut it off if that's what the father wants. It's only when the third party's doing it and the father's not present do we say that the mohel acts independently, and we could say that he is indifferent or doesn't really care about being with the hair of the child. Amar, this is from the brayta that we saw yesterday. The brayta started out, which is what we've been investigating until now, which is that ben bizmana, ben shlo bizmana, it's dochet tzarat. Greet me that. But the latter half of that brayta said, Yom tov enu docha Ela bezmana bilvad. Milah is only docha yom tov when it's done on time. But when it's not done on time, it's not docha et yom tov. Minahani mile. Where do we know this from? Amar chizkiya b'chein tana de bechizkiya makra lo totiru mimenu ad boker. It says, do not leave it over until the morning. Shein tamad lomar ad boker. Ma tamad lomar ad boker. So why do you have to say boker again? Baktub liten lo boker sheni l'sreifato. Tell you that there's a second morning for its burning. It's talking about the leftovers of the korban of Pesach. It says that lo totiru you should not leave it over until the morning. And that which is left over until the morning has to be burnt. So the Gemara wants to know, why do you have to say ad boker again? You say lo totiru min ad boker, and then whatever is left over, kol notar tisrofu beish, whatever's left over, burn on the fire, because you know that was in the boker. But yet it says, whatever is left until the morning, then you should burn it. So now there's two ad bokers. The Gemara says, because it says boker twice, that comes to teach you that they cannot burn the leftovers of the korban on the morning after you eat the korban. Korban of Pesach is brought on the 14th. It's eaten on the night of the 15th. That's the night of Pesach. The next morning is Yom Tov. So Gemara says here that you're not allowed to burn the leftovers of the korban Pesach on Yom Tov morning. You have to wait to the morning of the 16th, to Chol HaMoed, in order to burn it. Why? Because the Sreifat Kodashim does not override Yom Tov. It's not Doche Yom Tov. And so, okay, great. So what does that teach us about Brit Milah? The way Rashi formulates it is that Korban HaPesach is Korban HaChol. It's a Korban that comes from a weekday because it's brought on the 14th. What you see is because it's a Korban of the weekday, it cannot override Yom Tov. And therefore, you can't burn it on the morning of the Yom Tov on the 15th. And you have to wait until the 16th. Same with the Brit Milah. Milah Shlo Bezmana is equivalent to Olat Chol B'Yom Tov Dami. It's equivalent of bringing a Korban on Yom Tov because it's an action that can be done any day now. It's not particular to any day. There's no definition of the day. The day was the 8th day. But now that you missed the 8th day, you can do it any day. So it's as if it was a milah that belongs to a weekday, and now you're trying to execute it on Yom Tov. So just like by the Korban of Pesach, you can't take the Korban Chol, the Korban of Pesach, and burn it on the morning of Pesach, so too, you cannot do the Brit Milah, which is classified like Chol, on Yom Tov itself, because it's in Uzmana. Baya Markra, Baya says the Pasuk says, it's another source, Olat Shabbat B'Shabbato, V'lo olat chol b'Shabbat, v'lo olat chol b'Yom Tov. The olav Shabbat can be brought on Shabbat. The olav Shabbat is doche Shabbat, but the olav chol is not doche Shabbat, and olav chol is not doche Yom Tov. You see from that it has to be something that's particular to the day in order to override the day. So Brit Milah again, which has a olat chol, Milah shelo bezmana, is classified like an olat chol. Therefore, you cannot bring it on Yom Tov. You can't bring it on Shabbat, which is true. Can't do a milah shelo bezmana on Shabbat or a milah shelo bezmana on Yom Tov. The only time you can do it is when it's milah bezmana. But milah bezmana, we have a specific dispensation to do it on Shabbat, because that gives you the right to do it. It says, this is the day and no other day. That's what we learned from the word bayom. We learned from all the limudim we had yesterday that milah bezmana overrides Shabbat. But there we need a particular limud to say that it's milah of Shabbat. It's not milah of chol. But it's milah of chol, which is milah shelo bezmana, then you can't override Shabbat, you can't override Yom Tov. Okay, so Rav Amar, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Hu levado yaseh lechem. Hu levado yaseh lechem is the Pasuk that teaches us that Ochel Nefesh is permitted on Yom Tov. Because it says, Ach asher yeachel lechol nefesh, Hu levado yaseh lechem. So therefore, Hu velo machshirin levado velo milah shelo bezmana. Who is a miut? Only this, and not machshirim. Only things that have to be done on Yom Tov itself. Things that can be done before Yom Tov, you can't do on Yom Tov. Only things directly involved with Ochel Nefesh, those can be done on Yom Tov, and you can violate the Yom Tov for them. And the Vado, that alone, comes to be a miut to say not milah shelo bezmana. The Atya b'kal v'chomer, because had you not had the Pasuk, it would have come b'kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer that we already invoked yesterday, which is Ma'atzarat, that overrides Avodah, and Odah overrides Shabbat. And we know when we say that Mila overrides Sarat, even Mila Shelo Bizmano. Whether it's Bizmano or Shelo Bizmano, it overrides Sarat. So you have Mila overriding Sarat, Sarat overriding Avodah, Avodah overriding Shabbat. That means Mila Shelo Bizmano by the transitive property should override Shabbat. So had I not had a pasuk to say no, I would have thought yes from the Kal V'chomer, the Kal V'chomer that we invoked yesterday. Ravashi Amar, Shabbaton Aseihu. Vayom Tov, Shabbaton is an Aseih. Therefore, Yom Tov and Shabbat as well involves both a mitzvah aseh and a mitzvah lo taseh. And you can't have a positive commandment come and override the asay and lotasay of Yom Tov and Shabbat. That's true by Mila Shelo Bizmana. By Mila Bizmana, we have a specific pasuk that's matir. We're not invoking the principle of asay doche lotasay. If you're invoking the principle of asay doche lotasay, you can't use that here. Because it's not just a plain lotasay. It's a lotasay and an asay. We described yesterday the two ways that Tosafot formulates that, whether that strengthens the lotasay, and therefore the asay cannot overcome it, or simply the asay doche lotasay is there, but you still have an asay left that you can't violate. One of those two. But either way, you cannot override it through that position of asay doche lotasay. If that's the case, then the only way to override it is to have a specific limud, and that limud we only have by Mila Bizmano. So by Mila Bizmano, we have a limud to override the Yom Tov, to override Shabbat. But Mila Shelo Bizmano, we do not have that pasuk, we do not have that limud. Therefore, it's relegated to the normal dinim of asay doche lotasay, and that won't function here, because Yom Tov is an asay and a lotasay. Right now, the Gemara continues and says, "Kol Amar Rabbi Akiva." Give as a principle that things that you can do before Yom Tov or before Shabbat, you cannot override on Shabbat. You cannot do them on Shabbat. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Alocha, Rabbi Akiva. We paskin Alocha like Rabbi Akiva. It's not Namiga bePesach. I gavno the Mishnah Psachim that says the same thing. Kol Amar Rabbi Akiva. Kol Malach Hashem Sar Sota Me'arav Shabbat. Eino Dochat Shabbat. Anything that involves the Korban of Pesach, the 14th falls out on Shabbat, Erev of Pesach falls out on Shabbat, they're allowed to bring the Korban of Pesach on Shabbat. But what is Doche Shabbat in terms of the Korban of Pesach? Only things that you couldn't do on Erev Shabbat, things that you couldn't do beforehand. For instance, Shechita, shechting the animal, you can only do on the 14th, so it has to be Doche Shabbat. Shiev shalos sotam Erev Shabbat, Doche to Shabbat. Other items, for instance, whether it's cutting off a bellet, a mum on the animal, something that would cause it to be pasul for the Pesach, that you can't do that on Shabbat. Bringing it from outside the tchum, or carrying it from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim, all these items, you could have prepared the Pesach from beforehand, you could have had it there beforehand. That you can't do on Shabbat, because that you could have done beforehand, so it's not mutar to violate the Shabbat for it. But anything you couldn't have done beforehand, you're allowed to violate Shabbat for. Again, they pass an aloha like Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara wants to know, but Tzricha, why do I need both times? Why did Rabbi Yehuda Marav pass an aloha like Rabbi Akiva twice? They pass an aloha here in our Gemara with regards to Mila and Shabbat. And they also pass an agabe Korban HaPesach and Shabbat. Why do I need it twice? It's the same aloha. The same aloha is, if you can do it beforehand, not Doche Shabbat. You can't do it beforehand, it is Doche Shabbat. Diyash min an agabe Mila, had you only taught me the aloha by Mila, because no din of karet of a Pesach, dika karet, emolidachu Shabbat. I would have thought that the machshirin are not doche Shabbat by milah, because it doesn't involve a chiyuv karet. Pesach, if you don't bring the korban of Pesach, you're chayuv karet. So maybe there, it's so powerful, can even override the machshirin will override Shabbat. So you don't want the person to miss out on the korban of Pesach when there's a chiyuv karet. So I need you to tell me by Pesach, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Now this isn't so simple, because there are two mitzvot asay that involve a chiyuv karet. The two mitzvot asay that involve a chiyuv karet are Korban HaPesach and Brit Milah. So how can the Gemara here say, oh, Korban HaPesach has a chiyuv karet, Brit Milah doesn't have a chiyuv karet? The answer is that Brit Milah does not have exactly have a karet. First of all, if you're a katan, then Milah does not have a karet associated with it because you're a lav bar unchinhu. And even the father is never a chayav karet, even if he doesn't give his child a Brit Milah. The karet only happens when the child grows up and becomes a gadol, then he gets karet. And even if when he grows up, he only gets karet if he dies without getting a Brit Milah. If he does his Brit Milah while he's a gadol, then he removes the chiyuv karet. So the chiyuv karet by Milah is different than that of Korban HaPesach, because it doesn't exactly happen all the time, and it's not certain that it will happen, the chiyuv karet. So therefore, maybe I would have thought by Milah, where karet is like a distant thought. So that's why the machshirin are not doche Shabbat. By Korban HaPesach, where if you don't do the Korban HaPesach, you're chiyuv karet right then and there. If you don't do the Pesach and you were available to do it, then maybe that should be doche Shabbat, if there's machshirin that are holding you up. The answer is no. Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. V'yishmei negabei Pesach, v'shim t'lo nichrutu aleha yud gimel britot. If you only told me by Korban Pesach that halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, I would thought that's true, because Korban Pesach is not so unique. It has a chiyuv karet, but it doesn't have yud gimel britot, the 13 covenants that were assigned to it. Avimila, d'nichrutu aleha yud gimel britot. Mila, which has the word brit, associated with it, when Hashem speaks to Abraham, 13 covenants involved with it, Eilu Tachu Shabbat. So maybe Korban HaPesach, that's not Tocha Shabbat, but Brit, which is so chashuv, there's these Yud Gimel Britot associated with it, that should be Tocha Shabbat, the Makhshirin should be Tocha Shabbat to accomplish Brit Milah. Tzricha, that teaches me, no, the Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva here as well. The Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva at Pesach, the Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva here to teach us, that no matter where, makshirin that can be done before Shabbat are not dochet the Shabbat. Anything that could have been done before Shabbat, that is dochet et ha Shabbat. Alright, next Mishnah. Osim kol tzarchei milah b'Shabbat. You're allowed to do anything that is necessary for the milah on Shabbat, you're allowed to do. Mohalin, you can do the milah itself. Uporin, you can do what's called pri'ah. Umotzitzin, and you can do the mitzitza. Now, each one of these are three different stages in terms of being meisir the orla. Mo'alim is to cut the orla itself off. That's the skin that is over the upper end of the member. That you have to cut off. That's the orla. Then on top of that, you have to do what's called pri'ah. Pri'ah is peeling back the top layer of skin from the edge of the gid to peel it back, that's called priyah. And motzitzim is mitzitza, that the wound that is caused, that the mohel has to suck the blood out. And the Gemara will talk about why he has to do that. But these are the three stages of milah. Each one of them is me'akev. These are all things that must be done in the milah in order for the milah to be accomplished. And therefore they're doche Shabbat. Benotin alea isplanit vikimon. And you can put on it, after the milah is done, you can put on it a bandage. And kimon and cumin, which are curative, they're put there in order to allow the milah to heal afterwards. V'lo shachak me'erev Shabbat. If he didn't grind down the cumin before Shabbat, and he needs to use it, then we don't allow him to grind it down, even though technically we're in a stage of sakana here, we're in a stage of pikuach nefesh, and he can technically do anything. Nevertheless, lo es b'shinav. We tell him to chew it in his mouth, v'neotein, and then put it on there, to crush it down by chewing on it, because, as Rashi says, kam defsh l'shnuriyei mishaninan, as much as we can change here, as much as we can do a shinoi, we say, please do a shinoi. Now, the possibility here is one of two reasons. Either because, even by bikuach nefesh, we say it's dechuya and not hutra. By bikuach nefesh, we say, try your best not to violate the Shabbat. But if you have to, you have to. So that might be the reason. Or even if bikuach nefesh is hutra, bikuach nefesh is totally mutar legabei Shabbat, over here, we might say, don't do that. Do it in a way of a shinoi, because either milah is not such a big sakana, it's not such a big pikuach nefesh, or because over here you have the ability to anticipate it before Shabbat. Number two is you put him into the sakana on Shabbat. So those two reasons might say, let's minimize the chilul Shabbat here. V'im lo taraf yayin v'shemen me'er Shabbat. If you didn't mix oil and wine before Shabbat, which is medicinal in nature, yitain zeh b'atzmo v'zeh b'atzmo. You should put the oil on and the wine separately onto the wound, in order for it to be curative. You're not allowed to make it a specific tight band that fits on it. They used to make this tight equivalent like a finger glove to put on it to stop the orla from slipping back forward. In order to hold it in place, they used to tie this finger glove onto it, onto the member, in order to hold it in place. So you're not allowed to make one of those lechatchila. Aval korech alei smartut. You can tie around it a rag or a bandage. And if he doesn't prepare before every Shabbat, then you can wrap it around your finger, maybe, and then carry it even from somewhere else. Again, number one, we don't make this type of finger glove on Shabbat, but nevertheless, you can tie the smartut, you can tie the bandage around in a way that simulates that effect. That you can do. If you didn't prepare the bandage from beforehand and you need to bring it, don't bring it carrying it. Wrap it around your finger, wear it, do it in a way that's a shinoi in order that you minimize the violations of Shabbat to bring it. And the Gemara says, Michtei Tani says, Kulo, it writes down all the things you need to do in terms of the milah, which is mo'alim, Purin and Motzitzin. So it already tells you all of those items. Kol Tzarchei Milah Latuyemai. So now, why does it have to write that Kol Tzarchei Milah you're allowed to do on Shabbat? You already listed out what are the Tzarchei Milah. Why do I have to say again Kol Tzarchei Milah? What does that come to the kud? Latuyaha Ditanu Rabbanan. Comes to include that which the Rabbanan learned. Hamal, person who's doing a milah, kol zman shehu osek b'milah, as long as he's engaged in milah, chuzer, he can go back. Ben al tzitzin ha-me'akvim et ha-milah, ben al tzitzim she'en me'akvim ha-milah. He can go back on the pieces of skin, the shreds of skin that are me'akev the milah. If you don't cut them off, it would be problematic. Or even the pieces of skin that are sticking out, that would not be Ma'akev the Milah. Now what's Ma'akev the Milah, as Rashi says over here, around the Atara, you have to have it be Rov, majority surrounding it, that would be Ma'akev. So if those are left over, you can certainly go back and finish them off, because the Milah is not done yet. If the Milah is not done, of course you can finish it off. But here, even if you have pieces of skin that are not around, that don't make up the Rov, nevertheless, if you're engaged in the Milah, you can still cut those off in order to finish the Milah. Perash, if you already left, you already stopped doing the Milah, then if there are skins or pieces of foreskin that are Ma'akev the Milah, then certainly you're allowed to go back because you haven't accomplished the Milah yet, so you have to finish the Milah. Aval, when it comes to tzitzim she'ein ma'akvim et milah, enu chuzer. Little pieces of shreds of skin that are not ma'akev de milah, that you can't go back and fix up after you've already stopped the milah. There's a lot to discuss about this. I'm going to postpone it until we get a little further down into the Gemara, because the rest of the Gemara relates to the discussion in Machloket HaPoskim here about what is said in this piece here. Man tana peresh enu chuzer. Who is the one who says that once you've separated, you're not allowed to go back? Amar Rabba Baruch Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. It is Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who we bumped into earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Kuftet Zayin, which is the Tanya of a bright Arbasar, Shechaliot B'Shabbat. If Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbat, Mavshita Pesach Adachazet, Div Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Remember, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka only allows you to flay the animal, to cut the skin off until the point where you reach the chazeh, until you reach the chest, because then you can get out the fats that you need to put on the mizbeach for the korban ha-pesach, and you can get them out in a manner that won't have hairs get caught in them or ruin them. That's the maximum of flaying that you're allowed to do. On the other hand, the chachamim or mafshitin et kulo. You're allowed to mafshit it like you do on a regular weekday. You can do the entire thing. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Ober Shabbi Yochanan ben Broka says you got to stop. Now Rashi claims over here, the way that the Mishnah describes hefshet, the flaying of an animal, the animal is hung upside down from the legs, and then you start flaying from the legs down towards the chest, and you open up the animal that way. After you reach the chest, you stop, and you cut off the head. Cut off the head, and then you start slicing parts of the ivarim, parts of the limbs off, and then you go back to flaying. So in the process of flaying, there's a stop. Because you stop flaying, you go engage in the cutting off of the head and other things, and then you come back and finish the flaying. So it's equivalent of our case here, where you've stopped, and then you continue later. So what the suggestion of the Gemara is here is that the Chachamim say you can go back and finish it. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says once you've stopped, you can't go back because it's Shabbat. And since you didn't finish it up front, you can't go back now and continue, which would equate it to our case of Milah over here. Gemara says, why do you have to compare them? Mimai. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka ato mishum delo bainan zeke livan veyu. There's no issue of hidur mitzvah by hefshet, the flaying of the animal. If you flay it nicely, that doesn't do anything for gvoa. That doesn't do anything for God, and the only thing that you need in terms of Hashem is getting the innards, the fat, out cleanly. And according to Bishmol, if you cut to the chazer, that's sufficient opening in order to pull out the fats and do it without any problem. So there's no hidur mitzvah. Over here by Brit Milah, there's an additional aspect of hidur mitzvah. The additional aspect of hidur mitzvah is that I cut off even the pieces of skin that are not ma'akiv de milah. If there's shreds of skin or pieces that are left over that to make it look like it's not a clean cut, then for that part we say do it properly and clean it up. So maybe Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka would only say his position by Korban HaPesach, but by Milah he would not say that. He would say, continue, go back and do it. Because it's Zekeli Vanveyu. Detanya, we have a Braita. Zekeli Vanveyu. This is my God, Vanveyu, and I will adorn him, I will praise him. Hitna'el fanab mitzvot. You should come before him, beautifying the mitzvot before him. Aseh lefanav sukkah na'ah. Should make a beautiful sukkah. Vilulav na'ah. Should make a beautiful lulav. Vishofar na'eh, and a beautiful shofar. Tzitzit na'ah, should make beautiful tzitzit. Sefer Torah na'eh, you should make a beautiful Sefer Torah. V'katuv bo lishmo, bidyo na'ah, and you should write in it, lishma, with beautiful ink. B'kumus na'eh, with a beautiful quill. B'lav lavar uman, with a great sofer. And you can wrap it up with beautiful silk. You should adorn the Sefer Torah with silk. So this is the mikor for what we call hidur mitzvah. That not only is in the performance of the mitzvah that one does the mitzvah, but within the mitzvah we want you to be mehader. Do things in a way that beautifies the mitzvah. Something that not only you're doing the basic mitzvah, but you're doing it in a way that enhances the mitzvah, makes it more beautiful. Abba Sholomer ve'anveyu, havidomelo. Vanveyu is not mean to beautify, but rather, ani vahu, me and him. Havidomelo, be like God. The equivalent of what we have in other places in the Gemara. Sotav alachta bidrachav. Follow the ways of God, which is here. Mahu chanun v'rachum. Avata eye chanun v'rachum. Just like Hashem is chanun v'rachum, that Hashem is gracious and merciful, so too you should be gracious and merciful. What we have here is the din of Hidur mitzvah. Now this has major, major implications throughout Shas. Now first of all, whether there's anybody who believes that there's no din of Hidur mitzvah, the only candidate for that is Abba Shaul over here. Shaul is the only candidate to say that there is no Hidur mitzvah because he takes away the limud. He uses the pasuk for something else. Despite that fact, the Shagas Aryeh argues that even Abba Shaul agrees that Hidur mitzvah. This is just on top of that. He dashes on top of Hidur mitzvah. There's also this aspect here, which is to emulate a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he says even Abba Shaul agrees that there's Hidur mitzvah. The question you have to ask is Hidur mitzvah a din de oraita, or is Hidur mitzvah a din de rabbanan?
Which would have a nafkamina as to cases of safek, whether we go to chumrah because it's a din de oraita, or do we go to kula because it's a din de rabbanan? The chidushei anshei shem in brachot in the Dapei Arif seem to indicate that it is a din de oraita, whereas the Ritva and the Beit Yosef seem to believe that it is a din de rabbanan.
Not a din de oraita. The Beit Yosef discusses this, brings down both opinions with regards to whether it's a din de Rabbanan or a din de oraita.
And in addition to that, it will also have implications in terms of whether Hidur mitzvah is just a din lachatchila, or is it even a din bidiyavid where it could be posel the mitzvah if you don't do Hidur mitzvah. Because the Bahag invokes the principle of Hidur mitzvah in the case where a person takes a lulav and etrog upside down.
When you pick up the lulav and etrog upside down, are you yotze the mitzvah? The Bahag says no. You know why you're not yotze the mitzvah? He says because it's a lack of zekeli vanveyu. So you see from the Bahag that he thinks that it's a problem of zekeli vanveyu. He said it posel the mitzvah. Rashi as well in the Mara Sukkah, when it comes to lulav ayavesh, dried out lulav is pasul according to the Mishnah. Why is it pasul? Rashi says because it's a lack of zekeli vanveyu. It's a lack of hidur mitzvah. So you see Rashi also invokes it as posel the mitzvah. First of all, there might be two types of hidur mitzvah, and that's what Rav Soloveitchik in Mishmut Shiurim wants to establish, that there are really two types of Hidur mitzvah. There's what we call objective Hidur mitzvah, and there's subjective Hidur mitzvah. In objective Hidur mitzvah, that's where Rashi says that it's a psul. If you don't have this Hidur mitzvah, it's not even a good lulav. Because generally when we say Hidur mitzvah is something that we do lechatchila. B'di'eved, it should be fine. But yet we found by the Bahag, and we found by Rashi, that it's even posel the mitzvah. If it's posel the mitzvah, first of all, that means that it's probably doraita. But number two is it also means that it's, what, how do you call that hidur mitzvah? Hidur mitzvah is something that's above the mitzvah, something that enhances the mitzvah. It can't be the mitzvah itself. So therefore, so the Rishon wants to differentiate and say that there's a hidur mitzvah which is objective. You have to have a certain level of hidur within the mitzvah to be the basic or meet the minimum requirements of the mitzvah. A lulav ayavesh doesn't meet those minimum requirements. That's objective hidur. That type of hidur can be posel the mitzvah. There's another level of hidur mitzvah, which is the enhancement above and beyond the mitzvah, which is that by, for instance, the arba minim, the Torah tells you to do hadar, do something even more beautiful. That's what we call relative or subjective hidur. I have this etrog. The next one is nicer than this etrog. That's a comparison between two. I can see one is nicer than the other. That type of hidur is lechatchila, but b'di'eved, you don't have to do it. It doesn't affect the mitzvah. It doesn't detract from the mitzvah. You can still accomplish the mitzvah without it. So that's those two types of hidur mitzvah that you have to keep in mind.
Another possibility to reconcile between when hidur mitzvah is posel even b'di'eved versus when it's only a problem, lechatchila, is offered in the Rishimat Shiurim, where Rav Soloveitchik wanted to suggest that Rashi says that it's posel the lulav, or he has another case in Gitin, where if you write over the Shem Hashem, when you did a Shalom Lishma, Rav Yehuda says you can write over the name and make it Lishma, that's only if you have one or a couple of names. If the entire Sefer Torah is done wrong and then you have to go over all of them, pasul, because it's Menumar, it's a problem of Zekeli Vanveyu. Rav Soloveitchik wanted to suggest there that's only when it has Shem Shemayim Aleh, that the psul of Zekeli Vanveyu only applies when God's name is associated with the mitzvah. By Sefer Torah, it's clear. Also by lulav, Gemara Daf Lamed Vav Amud Bed and Sukkah says that the lulav has an association of Shem Shemayim on it. Because that association of Shem Shemayim, there maybe Zekeli Vanveyu becomes a psul, not just a hidur that you have to do in the mitzvah, but it becomes integral to the mitzvah because Shem Shemayim is involved with it. So that might be a differentiation between hidur mitzvah that's not ma'akev and hidur mitzvah that is ma'akev.
The next question you have to ask is, how does Hidur Mitzvah function? How does Hidur Mitzvah work? And this will have major implications over here in our sugya. We talk about Hidur Mitzvah. Is Hidur Mitzvah, number one, independent of the Mitzvah? It's in addition to the Mitzvah. You do the Mitzvah, and then you have an independent kiyum of Zekei Livan Ve'o, Hidur Mitzvah. Or does Hidur Mitzvah become part and parcel of the Mitzvah? Every Mitzvah, or embedded in every Mitzvah, is the aspect of doing Hidur Mitzvah. But I do the Mitzvah, and when I do Hidur Mitzvah, it makes the Mitzvah even a bigger Mitzvah, or a better Mitzvah. The question will come up, for instance, when two people take an etrog. When two people take an etrog, one takes a regular etrog, and the other one takes a really beautiful etrog. Reuven, who took the regular etrog, he was mekayim the Mitzvah of Arba Minim, of taking the etrog. Shimon, who took the beautiful etrog, he was also mekayim the Mitzvah of Arba Minim. But what else? Was he mekayim the Mitzvah of Arba Minim behidur? That's one way to say it. Or was he mekayim the Mitzvah of Arba Minim, plus he was mekayim another Mitzvah called Zekei Livan Ve'hu? That's the way to formulate this difference. And that might be a machloket ab mishonim, and the achronim really take this issue up and bring it up in many circumstances. With regards to issues in Neirot Chanukah, the issues of Milah over here, and the issues of Lulav. What happens in our case over here? Gemara here claims that the tzitzim she'enam me'akvim is a Hidur Mitzvah. So now you see something very interesting. It says that, according to Rashi, Rashi says, when did this Milah take place? This Milah took place on Shabbat. This Milah took place on Shabbat, and here the Moel's in there cutting off the Milah. He's finished the Milah, but he realizes he's left over some tzitzim she'en me'akvim. He left over some pieces of skin that are not ma'akiv the Milah. And yet, what do we say? Go ahead, cut off the skin. Take off those little pieces. Why? That's Hidur Mitzvah. Hidur Mitzvah is not Doche Shabbat. The Mitzvah Milah is Doche Shabbat. Hidur Mitzvah is not Doche Shabbat. What do you see from that? Pretty clear from Rashi that the Hidur Mitzvah is embedded in the Mitzvah. That the Hidur Mitzvah is not separate from the Mitzvah. It's part and parcel of the Mitzvah. And therefore, as long as you're engaged in the Milah, then doing the Hidur Mitzvah is as if you're engaged in Milah itself. Not engaged in the Hidur Mitzvah, you're engaged in Milah itself. That's why you're allowed to go cut the extra pieces. Then, once you separate, you cannot go back and do it. Why? Because Rashi says, Kula chada miltohi. It's all one action. So that's the other way to formulate it, you could say. Maybe Hidur Mitzvah is separate. But as long as you're in a singular action, or you're engaged in a singular action, when you do the action for the Milah, you can also do the action for the Hidur Mitzvah, and that'll be okay on Shabbat. So maybe you don't have to say that Hidur Mitzvah is part and parcel of the Mitzvah. As long as it's within one action, then that is mutar. As long as you continue the action of cutting the Milah, then you're allowed to also do the Hidur Mitzvah, because it's one action. So as you separate, then you're asking us to engage in a new action. Engaging in a new action, then Hidur Mitzvah is not Doche to Shabbat. So those are the two possible ways to formulate what's happening here. Is Hidur Mitzvah part and parcel of the Milah, and that's why I'm allowed to do it on Shabbat? Or is it separate, but because it's done in one action, therefore it's mutar on Shabbat? But if I break it into two actions, then I can't do it on Shabbat. The real Nafka Mina comes up in the Rambam. The Rambam, when he formulates this halacha, does it in a very cryptic way. And it seems that the Rambam thinks this case is on chol, is on a weekday. Unbelievable Rambam, at least the way the Gesef Mishnah reads it, that the Rambam thinks that on a weekday, if the mole's in there, then he's allowed to cut off the extra pieces that are there. Once he leaves, doesn't go back and cut off the extra pieces. Now, on Shabbat, I understand that problem. Because on Shabbat, if I go back and it's only Hidur Mitzvah, that's not Doche to Shabbat. Or going to Rashi, it's two separate actions, not Doche Shabbat. On a weekday, why can't you go back and clean up the extra pieces? The answer is you could, but it's not Hidur Mitzvah anymore. Hidur Mitzvah only applies when you're engaged in the Mitzvah. Once you've done the Mitzvah, you can't engage in Hidur Mitzvah. Hidur Mitzvah only applies when it's part and parcel of the Mitzvah. So what the Rambam is suggesting is that when the Moel's in there doing the Milah, and he cuts off the extra skin that's not makev, that's Hidur Mitzvah, because he's engaged in the Mitzvah. You can have Hidur Mitzvah when you're engaged in the Mitzvah. But once you've already stopped doing the Mitzvah, now you want to go back and cut it up, that's not Hidur Mitzvah anymore. You're done. You can't have Hidur Mitzvah independent of the Mitzvah. That's why maybe the Rambam formulates it in that way. And again, we gave Rashi two options, but from the Rambam it seems that he thinks that Hidur Mitzvah is part and parcel of the Mitzvah. Since it's part and parcel of the Mitzvah, you can only engage in either Mitzvah when you're engaged in the Mitzvah. If you're not engaged in the Mitzvah, you can't do either Mitzvah. Now this comes up in other contexts. So I'll just give you an example. There's a Tshuva Rabbi Akiva Eiger. On the eighth night of Chanukah, you'd start to light the candles, you lit the first candle, you forgot to make a bracha. Can you now make a bracha? You already did the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah is Ner Ishu Beito. Lighting one candle is enough. That's it. You're done. So now what you're doing or what you're engaging in is Hidur Mitzvah. Can I make the bracha on Mitzvah? Talaka Ner Chanukah? Now that I'm engaged in Hidur Mitzvah. Tshuva Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, yes, you can. Hidur Mitzvah. You see from that Rabbi Akiva Eiger that Hidur Mitzvah is part and parcel of the Mitzvah. He allows you to make the bracha of lighting Chanukah candles on the Hidur Mitzvah, on the additional candles that you're lighting, the other seven candles that you're lighting. From there, it's pretty clear that the Hidur Mitzvah, the additional candles, are part and parcel of the original Mitzvah. And in that case, you can make the bracha on all eight of the candles, not just on the first candle. If you saw Hidur Mitzvah as being totally separate, then there's no way you could make a bracha on Hidur Mitzvah. You can only make a bracha on the Mitzvah of Nerot Chanukah. Again, the Achronim deal with this a lot in this type of definition, or how you separate Hidur Mitzvah.
As a derivative of our sugya, I heard in the name of Rabbi Willig that, for instance, if someone has to get stitches on Shabbat, they have a cut, and they are permitted to go get stitches done on Shabbat because there is sakana, there is risk of infection, they have to stitch up whatever the cut is so that they don't bleed. Now, once they are already stitching up the wound, then to add in extra stitches by the plastic surgeon in order that it also has cosmetic effect on the individual, that would be permitted as long as the surgeon is involved in the original process of stitching. So while they're in the maase achat of stitching, they can continue that maase in order to do the additional stitches to make it cosmetically nice. On the other hand, if the wound is sealed up with the stitches, and then after the fact, now you want to come back and stitch additional stitches for the cosmetic reasons, cosmetic stitches are not Duchei Shabbat. So this explanation that we had in Hidur Mitzvah, that Maise Achat, like Rashi suggests over here, is a matir to allow you to do the tzitzim she'ein ma'akvin, would have a similar ramification in terms of stitching, where you stitch the basic stitches, you're allowed to b'masa achat continue to do the additional stitches or better stitches for the cosmetic reasons. But as soon as you're poresh, as soon as you stop and you've solved the problem, the medical issue of stitches, then we're not going to allow you to violate Shabbat for cosmetic reasons in order to go back and restitch or stitch better so that it ends up being more cosmetically aesthetic in its outcome.
Right, that's just a quick overview of this sugya, because this is one of the main sugyot that deal with Hidur Mitzvah. Now the Gemara continues. We don't have a source, we don't have an author for this position over here that once you stop the milah, you can't go back to it. It's Rabbi Yossi, Shabbat. Whether the moon was seen clearly in the sky or not seen clearly in the sky, the Edim come to Yerushalayim to testify, they're mechalela to Shabbat to go there because Eidul HaChodesh is allowed to be mechalela to Shabbat. But even though it was seen clearly in the sky, they didn't come anyway. Rabbi Yossi Omer, near Rabbi Aliyo, if it was seen clearly in the sky, ain't mechalelin of et Shabbat. We're not mechalel of Shabbat because we assume Beit Din saw it. We assume that everybody knew about it. So why do we need you to be mechalel Shabbat to testify about it? So now again, how does this connect to our case? Because Rabbi Yossi says, even though there's a mitzvah, since it's not for Tzorach Kuboah, we're not mechalelin in Shabbat. So here, even though the mitzvah of Eidut HaChodesh still exists, but since we don't need it to be Koveya the Chodesh, because we know that Beit Din already knows about it because it's clear in the sky, therefore we tell you, don't be Mechalel Shabbat. So that'll be the same thing over here. As long as you're engaged in the Mitzvah, Mechalel Shabbat. As soon as you're Poresh, we don't say to you, go back and be Mechalel Shabbat, because it's not necessary anymore. If it's not necessary, don't go back. Maybe Rabbi Yossi, like in Kiddush HaChodesh, will be the author of our Mishnah here, Bimila. The Gemara says, Mimai. How do you know that? Mimai. Dilmad kan lokamai Rabbi Yossi Atam, dolo nitna Shabbat li dachot. Over there, we don't allow you to even start Chilul Shabbat. Over there, you don't even begin to engage in Chilul Shabbat because you know Beit Din saw the moon. But over here, Hachanina Shabbat Lidachot, you already violated Shabbat. You did the Brit Milah. You already opened up Pandora's box. You already started the Milah. Once you start the Milah, maybe, then Hachi Dami, over here, you can continue. Even after you've been Poresh, you can go back and finish off the Milah, even though it's not Davar Me'akev. El Amrei Naradai Rabbanan De Bli Alei De Rabbi Yosihi. The author of this writer that we brought before about the Tzitzin Shein Me'akvin is authored by the Rabbanon of Rabbi Yossi, the Tznan. Arba'a Kohanim Nichnasim. Four Kohanim go in. Shnaim Biyadam, Shnei Sdarim, Ushnaim Biyadam, Shnei Bazichim. Here we're talking about the replacement of the Lechem HaPanim. Lechem HaPanim, they used to exchange it. They used to change it on Shabbat itself. So you have the Kohanim that go in. You need four Kohanim to engage and bring in the Lechem HaPanim. Two of them have the two stacks of Lechem HaPanim. There are two stacks on the Shulchan of Lechem HaPanim. So each queen carries in one of the stacks to place on the Shulchan. Ushnaim biyadam shnei bazichim. You also have two bazichei levona that are placed on the Shulchan that you are makriv on the next Shabbat in order to be matir the lechem. So they bring in, each of them has that one of the bazichim, the kapot, the spoons or holders for the levona to bring and put on the Shulchan. So that's four. Ve'arba'a makdimim lifneim. But four enter before them. Shnaim lito shnei starim. The first two go in to take off the last week's Lechem HaPanim. Ushnaim Lito Shnei Bazichim. And two, to take off the levona that's on the shulchan from last week. Halachnisim omdim mitzafon upem ledarom. The people who are going in, bringing it in, stand in the north, and they face south. Valmotzim, those that are taking out last week's lechem panim, stand in the south, ledarom upem ledzafon, and they face north. That's where the shulchan sits east-west. Sits east-west. So one group stands in the north, and Rashi claims that in the north, because the north is more chashuv, wherever you have an option, you go to the north. I would argue when Rashi says here, you go to the north, is because when you're facing west in the Mikdash, going to the north is right. So that means the reason you go to the north is because that's the right. Not because it's north itself. But we know by Kodshei Kodashim that there's Shecht in the north, there's more Kedushat in the north. But be that as it may, so what they set it up here is the ones who are bringing it in, who are more chashuv, they stand in the north. And those that are removing it stand in the south. And what they do is they feed it in. Elo Moshchim Elo Menachim. The ones who are bringing in the new one, push it in, while the other ones are pulling out the last ones. Fachosho Zeh B'tzad Fachosho Zeh. They're within a tefach of each other. Mishom Shnemar Lefanai Tamid. The lechem apanim has to be permanently in front of me. Tamid. Tamid means you don't want the shulchan to be naked of lechem apanim. So how do? That? I slide in on one side and I pull out on the other side. Even if you take it off now and they come in an hour later and put it down, that's still called tamid. So what do you see from here? Or this is what the claim of the Gemara is. I don't think it's so simple, but that's what the Gemara assumption is. That you have here a break between the placement and the removal. According to Rabbi Yossi, the break's not a problem. I take it off now, and then I come back and I put it on later. That's not called an interruption. That break in between is not called an interruption, even though they're two separate masim. Zip, lechem apanim was there tamid, was there all the time. On the other hand, the chachamim believe that tamid, if you stopped the action, if you had put it on and then stopped and brought in the new ones, that would not qualify as tamid. The only way for it to be tamid if the action is continuous. So therefore, the chachamim here are the authors of that position before. As long as you're engaged in the milah and it's a continuous action, then you're allowed to be mechalel Shabbat. Once you've disengaged, and now you want to go back, that's a separate action. That's not considered to be a continuum. According to Rabbi Yossi, even with that separation of time, that's considered to be a continuum and tamid. The truth is, their machloka may not be about that, it might simply be about the word tamid. What does it mean to be tamid? Does tamid mean continuous? Or does tamid mean that every day that it's there? That on a regular basis it's there? So if I take off the challah, as long as I replace it before the night day's over, then on that day the challah is there. That might be enough to be classified as tamid. Or does tamid literally mean continuous? And that's what the chachamim believe. They could be arguing in the definition of tamid, not like the Gemara is assuming here, that they're arguing about whether it's a continuous action or not. But it's clear here that the Gemara thinks that that's their machloket about continuous action, and therefore they apply the chachamim of Rabbi Yossi to be the authors of the position that we brought over here, that as long as he's engaged in the milah, he can go back on the tzitzim she'ein me'akvim. If he separates, he's not allowed to go back on the tzitzim she'ein me'akvim. Tarabanan, mehal katinet ha-milah. You're allowed to trim the milah. Velo hilkeit anush karet. And if he doesn't trim the milah, then he gets a karet. Mani. Who gets the karet? Amrav Kana Uman. The one who gets karet over here is the mohel who's doing it. Now what karet we're talking about here is not the karet of milah, we're talking about the karet of Shabbat. Because if he didn't trim it back, he did not accomplish the milah. He didn't do milah. And therefore he made a chabura on this individual without accomplishing milah. And that's why he's chayav karet. He's chayav karet because it was on Shabbat. He violated Shabbat, but he didn't do the mitzvah milah. Matki flar rabbapa uman lema. Then we can say, I began the mitzvah, you needed to finish it off. I wasn't engaged in the chabura, I didn't do anything wrong. I started the mitzvah, you guys just needed to finish it. Elam Rapapa Gadol. Rapapa says the one who's chayav here is the Gadol. Meaning that the person who has the milah done to him, he's the one that is chayav right here because he doesn't have a milah. This is even on chol. Even on a weekday, because he remains in Arel. He remains in Arel, and now he'll be Chayav Karet if he doesn't get a Milah. Matkid of Rav Ashi, Gadol Behejim Ketiv Bey. That's explicit in the Pasuk. Varel Zachar Shel Lo Yimo. He doesn't have a Milah, of course he's Chayav Karet. Rav Ashi, Lo La Muman. We're talking about the Mohel, going to Atta Benesh Mashot to Shabbat. Comes, shows up at the tail end of Shabbat. Ram Rule Lo Mespacht. You don't have enough time to do the Milah before Shabbat is over. Ram Lo, and he says, Mesafkina, I think I do have enough time to finish it. Vavad, and sure enough, he does it, Voi Stapik. And he doesn't finish the Milah on Shabbat. Vishtakach the Chaburo Odavod Vanush Karet. Here, what he ended up doing was, he didn't finish the Milah till after Shabbat. Now you're right, Milah Vizmana is Doche Shabbat, that's only if you complete the Milah on Shabbat. Over here, he only finishes the Milah after Shabbat. So then, with the Chabura that he made on Shabbat, was not necessary. The Milah was never accomplished on Shabbat, and therefore he is Chayav Karet. Now Rashi says it's not Chayav Mita, because Number one, he doesn't have hatra'a. And if you say they gave him a warning, he didn't accept the warnings, he says, no, I can do it, I'll make it. It won't be a problem. So he is chayav karet because he violated Shabbat by doing this chabura, but he won't be chayav mita. Okay, motzitzin, mitzitza. This is a very controversial area. What we call mitzitza bepe. Amar papa, hay umna delomayit sakanahu v'avrinin le. Any mohel that doesn't do mitzitza, it's dangerous to the child, and we remove him from his position. He's not going to be a mohel anymore. It says pshita. Dekale mechalele sha'ale Shabbat sakanu. The fact that the Mishnah mentions it, one of the items that you're allowed to do on Shabbat, that shows you if you can be mechalel for Shabbat for it, the only reason we allow you to be mechalel Shabbat is because there's sakana. I would have thought that the blood is just sitting on top of the wound. It's not internal, it's just sitting on the wound. And since it's sitting on the wound, when you do the mitzitza, you're just removing blood on the surface. So you're not violating the Shabbat. And that's why it's mutar on Shabbat. Mashallah, no, chubure mechbar. That the blood is inside the wound. And when he does the mitzitza, he pulls the blood out. He makes a petach. He's doing something that's violation of Shabbat. That's the Kamash one over here. I would have thought the reason mitzitza bepeh is allowed is because there is no violation of Shabbat. There is no chilul Shabbat. That's why you're allowed to do it. The answer is no. There is chilul Shabbat. And that's, despite that fact, you're allowed to do it. And what does that teach us? That teaches us that it's a sakana. And that's why you can do it. But dumya dispanit v'kimon. And it parallels the bandage and the cumin in the Mishnah. Ma, ispanit v'kimon gilav in sakana. Just like there, we don't do the bandage and the cumin. Then it is a sakana. Afachanami, so to over here, the mitzitza. That if you don't do it, it is a sakana. Now, most people today do mitzitza through a tube, and they don't do mitzitza bepeh to not expose the child to any germs or any problems. There are some people who are very makpid on mitzitza bepeh to do it directly on the wound. Moel has to be very careful if they are going to engage in this, that Moel has to be very careful that he is not a carrier of any communicable diseases, because it really can endanger the life of the child. It can really cause problems for the child. The law just went to effect, I think, in New York now, that any mohel who wants to do mitzitza bepeh must register and then get checked to make sure that they have no communicable diseases in order to protect these children. And you have to get consent from the parents in order to do it. But those that want to continue doing mitzitza bepeh, at least they should do it in a responsible manner. Otherwise, most of the poskim believe that you can do mitzitza bepeh by using a tube. You suck up through the tube, and therefore you don't have to put the mouth directly on the wound of the milah. Nothing ala isplanit, you put on a bandage, I'm rabbi, I'm really aim. My mother told me, isplanita de kulon keve, the best bandage, the best solution to any wound is, shabninei tarba, 7 types of fat, v'chad kira, and 1 type of wax. You mix them together, and they make up this fantastic bandage that is a salve for the wound. Rav Amar, kira, v'kalba, reshina. Rav says that wax, kalba, some claim that the reshina was added in later, but this kalba reshina is a white resin. The two of them are really good for the wounds. They are the best type of bandaging that you can do to cure the wound. Darsha Rav Mechuza. Rava got up in Mechuza and was Doreshid Barabim. Karinu Bnei Minyumai Asya Laminayu. Bnei Minyumai, who were the doctors in town, they were Kriya on their Brigadim. Basically, he gave away their Parnosa. They knew how to make these bandages. They knew the secret to making the bandages, and they were able to cure it. People had to come and pay them for it. Now, he told everybody the secret. They no longer going to have any Parnosa, because everybody knew what to do now. He says, I'm a little Shafke Luchuchada. I left you one thing that I didn't say that people have to still come to you for, which is Damar Shmuel. Haiman de Mashi Ape, if anybody washes their face and Lonage Tuva doesn't dry off carefully, Nikturle Chaspenito, he breaks out in pimples, in blisters, as Rashi says, Shchin. The word Chaspenito is from the word Chaspo, which is Cheres, which is a description of some of those diseases that they have in the Tochacha. So that's what you break out in it. Maita Kante, how do you solve that? How do you rectify it? Limshe Tuva be Maya de Silka. You should wash very carefully with water of the beet or with beet juice. It's either water where you boil the beet in the water, or it's literally beet juice. You should wash carefully with that, and that removes this problem. Okay, we'll stop over here.